Well, it's an honor for us to be here. Thank you all for coming. And I just want to thank the Lord, each of you that are here, for each of us that know our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It pleased him to give you the kingdom. If you dwell on that, that you are where you are today, and it pleased him to give you the kingdom. That's an amazing Father that we have. And each of you have that Father. And we praise the Lord. Sophie and I, we are two peanuts. We praise the Lord. We can do the things that she was talking about. And we could go on and on and talk about the things. It's just amazing. And he can use two peanuts. And it's just amazing who he is. And he does it through us because he loves people. That's our motivating thing, is he loves these people. What can we do with our lives? Because he loves these people. So that's why we're willing to do this, because, you know, these people, we may only see these people once in our life. It's like, wow. Praise the Lord. And so that's why we're doing a lot of this. I praise the Lord for what each of you can do. You never know the path of the people you run into and what part you're going to play in it. And sometimes you only see them for, you know, 25 seconds when you're at the counter. But it's so good to give them the words of life. It may be a track. It may be a few words. Like Michael was sharing, sometimes, I love it. Because sometimes, you know, people in secular conversations, and then they'll say this, and I'll just say, and the Lord has done something good, and I'll say, praise the Lord. And it's like a lightning bolt coming into the atmosphere. Because where'd that come from? But it's lifting up the Lord in the middle of the darkness. And it can be as natural as breathing. And that's the way I want it to be. I want it to be, you know, I don't have to be, fighting. And man, I just want it to come right out. Let it burst right out and let it be allowed. Lord, let it be allowed just to flow through me from you to them. And so it's just such an honor to be in a position we're in. It's an honor for you to be in the position you're in. I don't care where you are. No matter where you are, it's dark. It's dark out there. The world is just all dark. And we're carriers. And so we can carry the gold that we have, that the Lord has given us on the inside. And we can share light and life with people. And the hard thing, and it's like Michael was sharing before, it's not to get caught up in the technicalities. Did I say the right thing? Didn't I say the right thing? How should I say it? Doubts can come in, and I'm going to share it in a second. We got to pull down all this stuff and just allow the Lord. Just allow him. And that has to do with our lips. Just allow him. Allow him to use our lips. And we get free. To big people and to small people. But we just have to watch out about the glory side. Sophie and I, we're two peanuts. We're not looking to go on TV. We're not looking for to be lifted up. We don't need to be lifted up. Actually, the lifting of us up will hinder us to reach out to them. We don't need that. So, and the neat thing is, in your life, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. In our lives, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And that's a freeing thing. We are free in that. You know, this isn't what I was going to share, but I got to share it anyway. We're in the airport, and we're inside waiting for the flight. And I wasn't thinking about witnessing to this guy. And not that I'm against it. I'm not. It's just where I was, it just wasn't there. So my wife starts sharing and witnessing. She got to a point where I just couldn't help but to get in there and start witnessing. And I was just so super. And that happened a few times. It's like, sometimes you don't even feel like it. And it's not that you don't care about people. It's just when we're over there, my mind is kind of Muslim-minded. I'm looking to reach out to Muslims. And so my mind isn't on Catholics. It's not on this. It's not on evolution. It's on that. And so it's hard for me, you know, I'm not looking to shift gears. I'm looking to keep my forces in that direction. But just being open, how the Lord can inspire you through other people or however, and you just get talking, and before you know it, you're talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf. And what Michael was sharing about before, you have Jesus, and then you have all the rest of the world. All the rest of the world, the religions, are based on self-righteousness. It's based on yourself, lifting up the eye, your own goodness. I'm good. You know, I'm a good person. Maybe I'll make it before the Lord. The only religion, this is so easy for me to talk to anybody. The difference between the gospel and all religions is the gospel is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's so easy to talk to people because it's saying, you know, it's not a matter of you becoming good and saying, I'm good before the Lord. No, it's a matter of Jesus' goodness and Jesus covering you. And so what I wanted to start off with, I'm going to try to get into the message, is, and I don't want you to be afraid of this. You can be afraid, but I don't want you to be afraid. When Satan looks at you, what does he see? In the world, that's a scary thought. What does he see? When Satan looks into your eyes, what does he see? Pauses make us think. Sometimes pauses are good. It makes us think because we think, wow, what does he, when he looks in my eyes, what does he see? And that's where the spiritual armor is so important. Because when he looks at you and he sees the spiritual armor that God has given us, he sees Jesus. That's why we don't need to fear. When Satan looks at us in the eyes, we're not the ones to behold. He is. Because we are allowing our covering, our shield, all the weapons we have, for him to see Jesus. That is so powerful. This morning, or the last few mornings, I was in Psalm 78. I'm not going to read that. But I would advise you, and it might seem a little scary, Psalm, and you might think, well, you know, God, you're... But look at it from God's standpoint. When you go through that scripture, if you're able, Psalm 78, go through that. But I'm going to start off the message with this. And this is Psalm 78, verse 72. And it says, so... He, that's the Lord, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. I could speak on, I mean, that in itself, I could speak on a whole, what an amazing thing that is. And it says, and guided them with the skillfulness of his hands. Wow. Every time you come here, every time you open up the scriptures, his longing, his will for your life is he wants to guide you with the integrity of his heart. That is clear. That is it. What we need to do, we need to receive that motivation. We need to receive that. When I mean motivation, receive his, see that is his motivation. And we need to plant that in us. As we open up the scriptures, you know, Satan and feelings and all kinds of things can give us different impressions. Paul mentioned a second ago that we need to tear down every lofty thing. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, to pulling down every lofty thing that rises up against the knowledge of God. And these lofty things can affect your feelings, can affect our view of who He really is. And people can fall away. They can do all kinds of crazy things. But it's because with the armor, we are not tearing down these lofty things. What's a lofty thing? It's a thing outside of truth. It's a thing. It's fluffed up. It's not truth. It looks like truth. It has all the bells and the whistles and it's glamorous. But it is not truth. And those things are the things that want to fill us up with fear. They want to distract our mind. They want to do all kinds of things. But it's our job to pull these things down. And the truth, Paul mentioned a second ago, the truth will set us free. That's not a soft statement, because this is the truth. And everything that interferes with our viewing this is a lofty thing. We need to pull that down. And it can come from TV. People, religious people on TV, they can say things, lofty things, that rise up against the knowledge of God. It can sound spiritual. We need to pull those things down in ourselves. But so the integrity of His heart. Lord, we are calling upon You right now because we know it's Your will to lead us and direct us and guide us with the integrity of Your heart. And we can pray that every time when we go to the Word. That's His will. And guide them with the skillfulness of His hands. There's nobody I'd rather be guided by than the skillfulness of the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't care how they're dressed. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how, I don't care. It's like that song you were singing. Just give me Jesus. You can have the world. You can have all that stuff because it's an empty bag. And I don't want to carry around empty bags. Just the skillfulness of the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. And to be guided by that. And how do we be guided by that? How do we get a handle on that? We wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, I commit myself to You. And it's good to say it out loud. It's good to say it to the universe. It's good to say it to everything around you and everything within you. It's good to speak it out and make it firm. Having a solid life in the Scriptures, having a solid life on the Word of God, on His promises, it doesn't get better than that. And so we want to thank You. You know, we're only here, a couple Sundays out of 4 years. But You are the pillar for what you see and what you don't see. You're the pillar. You're the reason we're there. He's the one that made You the pillar. You know, it's not lifting up churches or anything, but the thing is, families are families. And the family of God is the family of God. And because of the family of God here, we are doing the family's work over there. And we thank You for it. And you may not realize it, but where we go, we tell about what's happened here. Not to boast, but what's happened here has caused us to go over there. So how can we just say, well, we're over there? It's because of Syosset. It's because of the Syosset Gospel Church here. The believers in the Syosset Gospel Church here. So I just want to let you know, thank you. I'd like to share with you something. And there is a fellow by the name of Dmitry Dudeman. And Dmitri Dudeman was a believer from the country of Romania. And he was in Romania during communist times. And he helped to smuggle Bibles into Russia and Romania. And he worked with people like Richard Wurmbrand. Has anybody heard Richard Wurmbrand? Brother Andrew. These guys worked side by side doing what they were doing to get Bibles into that country, into those countries. Harlan Popoff. Now, these are people who've, they've, I was talking about, I mentioned before, I just want to bring it up again. These are people who have suffered. You know, in our spirit, we could think, oh man, suffering. Oh boy. And that's because in the flesh, suffering is difficult. In the spirit, when our spirits rise over the flesh, our physical, suffering can get us to where we need to go. But the point I want to say, when we're out at the airport, it's freezing out there. We're out there for hours, and we're waiting for people. And sometimes there's one or two people that get off the plane, and it's like, wow, if I was one of those one or two people, I would wish there was somebody who's willing to wait long enough for me to get off that plane to give me the words of life. Amen. So that's the way we look at it. You know, in the West, our mindset in the West is, you know, how many people did you get saved? How many people this? I don't care about how many people. It's how many people did I hand out the words of life to so they could have the opportunity. Right? Jesus healed the 10, one came back. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm just going to heal the one that came back. No, he loved the 10, period. Just so happens one came back. But the others had the opportunity to come back and say thanks. And so when we're over there, mind you, you know, and I'm not saying this harshly. I want to do what I do because of the love of God. It's not because of the response. It's not because, you know, how many people get saved, how many people don't get saved. I just want them, each of them, to have the opportunity. If they have the opportunity, and I just don't say, well, they have the opportunity, that's their problem. No, they had the opportunity, and we try to encourage as many people, and you, more than us, meaning we appreciate your prayers, but if we die, we're set. But we encourage you to pray for these precious people. We're giving out the word to, and they're getting the key. They're getting the key. And your prayers help them to use the key. And for the words to come to life in their heart. That's what we want you to pray. But, you know, other people, we tell them, listen, we're doing what we can over there. We need you to pray for them. And you know, many people respond. Because it's a precious thing. People can take the word of God. The people we hand it to, necessarily, they might not even open it. But they might leave it on the table, and one of their children or their wife can pick it up. And you know, the gold can come out. The Spirit of God can move into their heart. Truth is powerful. And that's what we're given. We're truth givers. So we praise the Lord. You know, that's all this is you're taking one of these. And when you might see somebody at the gas station or at wherever you're at, you have the truth right there. And you give it to them, and it doesn't mean that, well, did they get saved? Did they get baptized? No, they got to have the truth first. So you're just truth planters. I wish I could get to this quicker, but we were in Mennonite country. And we're visiting this precious fella, Amish fella, and we're with these Mennonite people. And this guy drives in the driveway with a fancy car, and you know, he's dressed up, and it was Sunday afternoon, and so, you know, his wife was saying, who is this person? And it looked like they might have been Chinese, and it looked like a business kind of thing. And so he got out of the car, and he noticed he made a mistake, so he got in, he was starting to get back in the car. And we, I guess if you're Amish, it's unlikely for many people to come driving in the car like that, especially on Sunday, and Amish don't drive cars anyway. But, and so before he got in his car, I said, whoa, wait a second. I went to the car and I got her testimony. I handed her, you know, this is our life. You know, take it, enjoy. And so this is the story of our life. And if any of you have read that, it's how we came to know Jesus. And so this guy, it seemed like he made a mistake. But mistakes, you use the mistakes for the glory of God, because when you do that, they're not mistakes. You know, and I just say that as a simple thing, because in your life, many, many times these things can happen. And it's not that you just look at it lightly. You say, oh, well, praise the Lord. It's an opportunity. What are we doing? We're making the most of the opportunities. You can make the most of the opportunities. And then things can just go out like water. Allow them to go out like water. But don't let the higher criticism and analyze it. In one church, one of the people said, did anybody ever get saved by a track? And you know, that one statement will rob the Spirit of God from people having a motivation to hand out the Word of God, because the tracks or whatever with the Word of God. Because they'll think, but seriously, has anybody ever been saved by a track? The answer is yes. But if you don't look into it, you know, everybody's going to think, well, today in this world, no, but that's a lie. But we don't look into lie. You know, we don't try to investigate. We just think, oh, wow, you know, that must be true. And a lot of people in that group, you know, they felt it was true. So you felt that atmosphere. I'm saying this because my sister had that happen in her church. And she thought, wow, that was so bad. So we have to watch out. We have to watch out what we hear, how we hear it. We have to realize the Word of God is powerful, period. We are two peanuts. Because as we hand out the Word of God, we're not handing out ourselves and how big we are. And this. That's all. That's nothing. We could do that, and that doesn't do anything to anybody. It makes people impressed about us, and then we die and we go and they forget us and they look at other people. So it's not about people. It's not about Paul. It's not about whoever. But, you know, on the other hand, we need to respect those people who are carrying the torches. I called Paul a champ before. I know he didn't like it because he doesn't like that. But that's what he is. He's a pillar here. But you guys are pillars here too. And outside in the world, they can call champions champions. But in the kingdom, we have the real champions. And we're going to be meeting them in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to say, praise the Lord for the champions. Praise the Lord for the champion of champions who has done what he has done to make us what we are. And we make a difference in people's lives. Hallelujah. The kingdom just gets better and better the more we come to know the kingdom, and the kingdom resides in us, the more powerful we are and the kingdom is, and the more influence we have on other people. That is the answer of life. And it never grows old. My wife just mentioned about time. She did that a week ago. She was right. I'm going to share. So this is from Dimitri Dudeman. And I'm going to share his dream. And he had a dream. And this was before he died. Dimitri Dudeman, I think he died in the 1980s. Before he died, he had this dream. If you look into his life, this dream is not the highest facet. This man was just what the Lord did in his man is just amazing. I love godly men. I love people who commit themselves to the Lord. And you know, when you commit yourself to the Lord in the morning, it doesn't say, yeah, I'm just trying to be normal here. It doesn't say to ask him to direct your steps. Isn't that something? That would almost seem like an anti-scriptural thing. But it doesn't say that. It says commit your way to the Lord, and it says he will direct your steps. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to ask him to direct your steps. And I'm not saying that I haven't done that. But I'm saying when you commit your way to the Lord, he says on his side, he will direct your steps. So that's powerful. Now you can repeat that and say, Lord, you know, I commit my way to you, you know, and you'll direct my steps. But you're telling him what he already knows. So there's things on our plate that we're to do. Our plate, you have a food plate, our plate is to commit our way to the Lord. And some people say, oh, that's so hard. You know, there's so many things, and I tell them, cut that all out. That comes to the mind and analyzing and all this. In the West, we reason, and the power of God dwindles. But if you throw out that kind of reasoning, it's a faithless reasoning. You throw that out, and you just say, I'm going to accept the Lord for what he says, his promises, and he's going to do it. So we commit our way to the Lord, and his plate is not our plate. His plate is he will direct our steps. And that's so good. And scripture is so powerful. And, you know, before I get to Demetri, I'm sorry. I just have to bring this up. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that is within me bless his holy name. Now that's powerful, but what is that? The armor of God, when you look at the armor of God, it's related to using scripture as your weapon. That's what it's related to. And how do you use your scripture? What is a scripture? A scripture is a promise. How does promises come forth? It comes forth through words. So how do you get a handle on your armor? Say this word by word. You do it by speaking it, confessing it, proclaiming it, and declaring it. Now, I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm not talking about thoughts. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about speaking the Word of God, confessing the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God, and declaring the Word of God. Now, you don't have to remember all those four words, but that's what's happening. So what did David do? He said, bless the Lord. He's confessing it. He's proclaiming. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's speaking to his soul. He's not speaking to other people's soul. He's just there with himself. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. He's not saying, oh man, you know, there's so many things. How can I commit my way to the Lord? No, he's saying, he's declaring, he's commanding in himself everything that is within me. Bless his holy name. And this is what we can do. And we can use the same thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. You are the commander of this body. Jesus is your head. You are the head over your body. So as the head over your body, you have the authority over everything in your body. And that means feelings. That means everything. And so you make that declaration. It's a declaration. And so we're using the promises of God to declare to our body everything that is within me. Some people will say, well, you know, it's only me within me. Well, don't get caught in the technicalities. You just do it. That's why I was saying before, when it comes to commit your way to the Lord, you don't fuss around with, oh, well, you know, how can I commit my way? Just to jump back again, Sophia was singing in her song, she says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart is that? It's all of it. It is all your heart. And some people say, well, how do I do that with all my heart? Well, it's not as difficult as you think. You confess it and you just do it. You use the authority God has given you. When you don't realize the authority that you have, that he's given you, then you doubt and you say, how can I do that? But he's not asking us to doubt. When you doubt, you're like a double-minded person. But you don't have to, in the authority of Jesus Christ, you don't have to be that way. So you can make your... you can trust in the Lord with all your heart and do it. So try not to let things interfere. Try to let Scripture be your sword. Scripture is a sword, and it will cut out the things within you. It will cause things just to roll off you because they don't belong there. And so that's what the armor does. The armor is the Scripture. When you have the breastplate or the belt, or the helmet. It's all scripture. You use the scripture as your protection in these areas. It's impenetrable. We can be impenetrable. And that is God's will for us. That's what makes us mighty people. It's not how good we talk on TV. It's not how good whatever. It's mighty people that take the promises of the Word of God and they use them. And they use them to cut out those things, to pull down those strongholds. Okay, Dimitri, we're coming. Okay, now, this can seem like it's a disturbing dream. Outside of the Lord, this is a very disturbing dream. I'll tell you, it's a very disturbing. Inside the Lord, this is a fascinating dream, and it's something that is exactly along the lines of what I am saying right now. So Dimitri got up one morning, and he was talking to his son-in-law, and he said, this is the dream. And I said, in my dream, it was getting dark. He was in this place where it was getting dark, and heavy clouds were starting to come in. And he said that he was with a big crowd of believers, and he knew some of these believers. And so here he is with a big crowd, a large number of believers, and there's a lot of clouds coming in, and some of these believers he knew. And he said, out of the clouds came Lucifer and his army. And the army was dressed in black, and Lucifer was dressed in red. Now, you know, I'm sorry for interrupting, but you have to be careful with dreams. I'm not saying this dream because I'm not saying that God doesn't use dreams. In the Muslim world, God uses dreams a lot and outside. But dreams can be used in such a way to just cause everybody to go in all kinds of directions. So be careful with dreams. We're here to follow the Word of God, not to follow dreams. So I want to kind of qualify this so that you don't get the impression, well, you know, I'm going to live my life according to dreams. That's not God's will. That's not God's Word. But when you listen to a dream, always weigh it with the person and the Word. I don't mind speaking this dream in front of you because these men have been tortured for their faith. They've gone through a price, a heavy price. So I respect very much what these men are saying. And if what they say isn't along the lines of the Word of God, I would not say this. And I'm not, again, I'm going to qualify, I am not saying this dream is the Word of God. So please don't. But when you listen to it, weigh it. And you know, Paul is here. You can talk to Paul and talk to Michael. But always weigh things. We have to be solid in the things we say. But anyway, so the clouds are coming in, and Lucifer was there in red, and the army of him was in black. And Lucifer said, I came to make war against the children of God. That's what he said to this whole group. And he said, those who have strength to come against me, go on the left. And those who do not have the strength to come against me, go on the right. About 75% of the people went to the right. About 25% of the people went to the left. And the army in black slowly surrounded the little group of 25% that said that they had the strength to come against Lucifer. And Lucifer said, kill them all. And a light shone down from heaven. And out of that light, a voice said, take out your swords to the small group. And from that group, out of the small group, spoke up one and said, what swords? So he's speaking to this voice that says, take out your swords. And one of the group said, what swords? And the voice said, the word of the Lord is your sword. Take it out and use it. Then they began to quote the scriptures from the Bible, and the army drew back. And all of a sudden, they began singing unto the Lord, and the army got frightened and ran away. And then Lucifer was furious and said, attack those on the right. Those are the 75% who didn't have the strength to come against Satan. And one by one, they were killed, and they could not defend themselves. And one on the left, the small group, asked, "Why were they defeated?" And the voice answered, "Those are the people who had one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They really, they never really had the word of God or the power of God. Because of that, they could not defend themselves." The sun began to shine, and all the black clouds began to disperse. This is in the dream. And there was only one cloud left with Lucifer and his army on it. And he began to shake his fist at this little group. And then the cloud disappeared. And that's the end of the dream. And for me, you know, I'm not one to listen to a lot of dreams, but this dream to me is just a powerful dream. It doesn't add to the Word of God, it doesn't subtract to the Word of God, but it tells us exactly what we need to do. When it comes to Satan, what does he see when he looks in your eyes? Well, Lord willing, he's going to see Jesus. But more important, what does he hear when he looks into your eyes? That's easy. He can hear the Word of God. He can hear from the armor of God what we confess to him. And just like that cloud, just dispersing and him shaking his fist, it's not that he's going to be there whacking you as you're sharing the Word at him and he's going to be torturing you and this and that. He's gone. So that's why the world does not want us here. Because as things heat up and the satanic realm increases, they do not have a weapon against us. They have to get rid of us. That's the only way they can survive with their power. Because our Lord and Savior is more powerful than them. The sword that we have on our tongue from the Word of God is more powerful than anything in all creation. And like Paul was saying, you know, we got to tear these things down. But we are mighty in God outside of pride. Inside of pride, you know, we're nothing. But outside of pride, we are mighty to God. We can stand up face to face to Satan, eyeball to eyeball, and he will see Jesus. That's what I want him to see when he looks at you. That's what I want him to see when he looks at me. I love you. I bless you in the name of Jesus and cover you with the blood of Jesus. Thank you that we can be here. Keep up the good work. Amen. Amen.
Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. He will flee from you. So he's got to do the retreating, not us. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. We want to go down and have our lunch. What we'll do is we'll bring the tracts and the labels to the office because I know the Chinese congregation will be coming in soon. So we don't want to interrupt them. So after lunch, we can come and get our tracts for this week's distribution, okay? Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Sophia. If you'd like to support the work, EMSA is our little group. It started right here from this church. And so if you'd like to support it, like 20 years has been going on now, and God's provided. So we trust you'll be a part of it. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you that we have a kingdom which cannot be moved. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, a kingdom, Lord, that is eternal, a kingdom that is just unshakable. And Lord, we don't have to shake either. We don't have to fear anything. We pray that you bless the words that were shared and the ministry that's going on in Georgia. And may we become a part of it, a greater part of this work. And we just trust, Lord, that we'll have a good time of fellowship afterward, encouraging one another in the faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you.